Welcome to Fireside Chat, a short interlude with weekly features, where I, Yehoshua Plukas, will be showcasing and interviewing prominent D&D creators. This week, we are talking to Brett from Dungeons & Dinners about D&D lessons learned from cooking and the food of Barovia. You've said that cooking is like dungeon mastering. What are the similarities between recipes and rulebooks, or recipes and session plans?
Yeah, so this was one of the first ideas that really kind of sparked my thoughts about trying to do a podcast that combined Dungeons and Dragons and food. Not just are they combined in a sense where, like, I think that most every game I've ever been to has snacks involved in some way or full-blown meals. But when I looked at my own style of dungeon mastering, I tend to balance homebrew and rules. And I like rules for certain aspects of things. It helps keep everybody on the same page when moving through complicated scenarios like combat or giving, you know, access to spells and stringent, kind of rigid things that you can rely on that you don't have to improvise in a pinch, because improv is a good part of the game and a good part of storytelling, but there's some places where the speed of improv can be kind of bogged down and you want to be able to keep the pace up. So for things like combat and spellcasting, I like to lean on rules a lot, but I believe that there's also a lot of rules. I come from older editions of Dungeons & Dragons and other TTRPGs where the rules can kind of bog the game down. And whether I'm running the game or looking for a game, I tend to look for certain aspects, possibly more roleplay or more ways to express myself that sometimes just aren't options in the standard books and fare that are available. I mean, before Eberron, artificers still aren't and haven't been a consistent playable class in Dungeons & Dragons, at least in the base game. So before that, I leaned heavily on Unearthed Arcana or homebrew rules and homebrew races and things like that to find ways to, again, just kind of express myself or have other characters and classes express themselves. Maybe I award more gold, or I don't roll for treasure. I may award very specific treasure with either a narrative or character focus in mind. And when I think about that, I realize that I tend to cook in the same way. And what I mean by that is that when you're baking, it's chemistry. It's like raw chemical composition chemistry, where the rules and the instructions matter a lot more. If you have too much butter or the wrong temperature or the wrong bake time, you can ruin a meal or a dessert very easily. It's very easy if you aren't following a recipe and you're just kind of winging it to have it not come out the way you want. But in saute or in general, like grilling or cooking, you know, more entree style meals, there's a lot more room for you to experiment and express yourself. And I tend to do that by looking for, if I'm going to cook one specific recipe, I may go to the internet, to manual cookbooks, to, you know, hardcovers or handwritten recipes, and compare and contrast a bunch of different ways to cook one style of food. And then on top of that, I'll take kind of the most common ideas, like the central core elements of a dish from all these recipes, but then I'll use either what I have in my cabinet or my own experience to say that I understand this meal enough that I can improv with it, I can apply my own personality to it, my own flair, my own flavor, because there may be ingredients that I don't necessarily like, even if they're traditional, that as long as they're not going to affect the major composition of the dish, I may remove completely or replace with a substitution. And I think there's a lot of people that cook that way. That's how a lot of recipes get made, is through experimentation. If you want a vegan style dish that doesn't exist, you've got to go experiment with it and play with it. And I think that approaching those two things in the same way and seeing where they're alike and different, where you should follow the rules and where you should follow the recipe versus where you can break them and experiment and play around, is just a really interesting way to compare and contrast two different artistic arts.
You've also compared campaign preparation to meal planning. How does that work?
When it comes to meal planning, I think a lot of people get stuck in like a dedicated meal plan, like Monday has to be spaghetti and Tuesday has to be pizza and Wednesday is, you know, whatever. And they write down exactly what they want to eat and try to plan their meals for that. And the way I meal plan is I go in and I say, what's 6 to 8 dishes that I either have the ingredients for or would like to cook over the course of the next week? I still write them all down, but I don't put days on them. And then I give myself at least one kind of cheat day. And maybe that's to eat leftovers on. Maybe that's to just kind of cook whatever you'd like. Or maybe we do takeout or something or go to a restaurant. Doing that allows us to still do the planning and the grocery shopping. And it takes a lot of the weight of what do you want to have for dinner tonight out of the question. Because while it's not a rigid plan, I think a rigid plan, you say, you know, pizza on Wednesday and you get to Wednesday and you don't want pizza. Well, you've either got to throw your whole meal plan out or feel dejected or like you failed at meal planning or just give up. Like it's really easy to give up that way. Whereas if you have a list of things plus a cheat day, we can go, well, you know, maybe it's getting close to the end of the week. We've gone through 3 or 4 of the items that we've had. I'm not really feeling the other 2 items, but that's what we have the groceries for. Because again, having this list let me do all of the preparation in advance. But maybe we do just want to do takeout tonight. Or if something comes up, if some life event, which there's always life events that happen where, you know, somebody needs to be late or has something extra to do and can't do dinner that night, then you have that out. But it still gives you that flexible plan that you can feel like at the end of the week, if I hit 5 out of the 7, then awesome. That's a success. And I can go into the next week knowing that I've planned that way and be excited that I did it once before and I succeeded at it and I'm not giving up because I can still get that reward. And in campaign and session planning, a lot of, especially newer DMs, get kind of stuck on telling their story and saying, the players will go to this city, they'll talk to this NPC, they'll find this item, they'll go on this quest, they'll kill the dragon and bring back the item, and then get the next story point. And they have it all written out and maybe even have pages upon pages written out. And the minute characters enter your story and you are not writing a book, you're dealing with other human beings, all of that gets thrown out the window. The minute that a character goes, no, this NP is suspect, we're going to kill him. Or no, we don't like this quest, we're going to take the item for ourselves and sell it at the next town over. If you don't have any of that written and prepared, you can go into panic mode. And that can be in the same way frustrating, and you can feel dejected. You could feel like you haven't been a successful DM because your players aren't doing the story that you have written, and maybe you're not as comfortable or confident improvising your way out of that situation. Instead, to avoid all of that panic, write down the things, the bullet points that you would like to hit, but try to think of them less as a strict timeline order and more like things that are more flexible that you can drop in anywhere in the story. If there's a specific artifact that the players need to get, maybe if you can't goad them into going to the dungeon to get it, well, maybe some other adventurers go there and now it's for sale or it's been traded to a nefarious entity. Maybe the bad guy gets it, right? And you're able to take that item and put it wherever in the story you need it to be, instead of having to say it rigidly has to be in some precise location. So learning to DM with bullet points, 5 to 7 bullet points that you would like to hit on, either in a session or by a certain milestone, information that the players need to have clarity on, any items or equipment that they probably should have to tackle your next dungeon crawl, and any certain level that they should be or encounters that they should have these written down, but be ready to pick them up and put them into various situations instead of trying to lock everything into a rigid 1, 2, 3, 4. Just have vague bullet points that you think you should use and find ways to introduce those bullet points to your characters when it fits the scenario.
Mistakes in the kitchen aren't uncommon. How has that helped you approach mistakes you make while DMing?
I think that we only really learn from failure. Whether you cook by yourself or if you've cooked in a large kitchen, mistakes happen. And there's some mistakes that you want to be very consciously aware of when you're getting into culinary arts. You want to learn knife safety. You want to learn, you know, that the oven is hot, or just to check it and to make sure you turn it off before you leave. Like there, you're dealing with real world dangerous items. Whether you get comfortable with them or not, it's that awareness of danger and the awareness of the complexity of the situation that you're in that helps you prepare. And you're going to make some mistakes, but you want to try to not make the big mistakes, right? You don't want to cut yourself, I would much rather burn cheese in a pan than lose a finger or deal with a nasty cut or stitches or anything like that. And in the same way, you know, approaching it and learning it in that way of what to look out for and then what to learn from, there's other failures that are just going to happen. And in fact, many of the dishes that we eat today were failures. I mean, moldy bread is the reason that we have penicillin. So in the same way, there are a lot of foods that we eat that were accidents, things that were overcooked now become fried, or not having liquid meltable chocolate available and instead just chopping in chunks and thinking that they're going to melt and make chocolate cookies, instead make chocolate chip cookies. And so accidents can actually be the gateway to innovation. And so not judging things as instant failures just because they don't go your way and trying to find the discovery of what else can come from that. In the same way, in a campaign, like I said, characters are going to go their own way or make decisions that you may not have planned for or wanted them to make. Maybe your BBEG dies in one round and you still have a 4-hour session that you need to fill. Thinking of that not as failure, but a moment of opportunity, a chance to look and see where can you go and how can you spin this into something even greater? Maybe the boss now has a second form. Maybe something more extravagant happens, or, you know, the characters do beat them, but something else has occurred because they didn't get to finish the grand spell they were trying to finish or whatever. And when you're going in and approaching, like I said, the dangers in the kitchen, going in and approaching the dangers, you know, they're not as severe, of course, but of playing, doing things like learning the big bad things that can go wrong and trying to thwart them, learning about consent for characters and some sensitivity, learning how to run a session zero and what types of feedback you should be gathering from players before your first session and after every session, and how to interact with players of various types to better understand before you jump in and play, what are some of the pitfalls? What are some of the ways that this can go wrong? And what are some of the ways that, you know, I can kind of thwart those and to safeguard myself? You know, you can wear oven mitts and still get burned, but it probably won't be as bad of a burn as if you didn't,